Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, alongside the all-in beast, Jake Seeley. And in, because it's Friday, it's our good buddy Greg Bynum's in the house.
How you doing?
How are you? We got six G's sitting at this table, and then one Jake. What's going on, Jakey Jakey?
What's going on? And yeah, I only have one J in the name, unfortunately. Sorry.
One J versus six G's. It's going to be a fun show. Today, what do we got today? We have, of course, we'll open a bunch of cards. I'll talk to Jake about some random nonsense. It's going to be a fun show. A lot of baseball going on. What's this box today here?
All right, we got the 2018 Topps Heritage Baseball.
Okay.
It's a fun product. They recreated the 1969 Topps design. So all the cards are, reminiscent of that. And the product has a few interesting things. They have a lot of fun variations. Some of the cards will have a player's nickname. There'll be mistakes on them.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, but what we're really after is the usual Shohei Ohtani. There's a red ink autograph number to 65 that just recently sold for $9,500. So
we'll take it.
Yeah. We'll not all it. Of them have been found. There's 69 of them. Hey, so
Greg.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple
hundred bucks.
Which
Greg?
Sussman, sorry. If he happens to pull one of those out,
yes.
I'll give you a couple $100 to grab it and run out of the office.
Well,
he won't make it.
He'll kill me.
I literally, you'll literally see American Ninja Warrior Greg come out.
I would probably not do that. Oh yeah, we know there's one real autograph or relic card in this box. That'd be cool.
It's probably going to be a relic card, most likely, a piece of a jersey, but we always hope for the best.
Wait, isn't this kind of like one of those, the employees aren't included in the contest, you can't win it?
Well, I paid for it, so.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, no, we're not up to that yet.
One day. All right, so how many packs are there?
All right, there are, I think there's 24 packs in the box. Here's a fun one. Every pack comes with a big hard topper. Why don't you want to open it? Well,
sure. Wait, what do we got? A hard topper.
That's it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Sure, it's fun. We got some cool. This is fun. Oh, this is perfect. This is great. Jake, this is exactly where I started. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I might actually be able to help you, Jake, with your issue. Carl is downstairs. Carl, if you're listening, Jake is hearing an echo. That's all I got for you. all right. Jakey.
Yes.
So in my hard topper here, which is cool. It's like
a box topper.
Excuse me. A little note on Chris Bryant here, with a little fake article, which is nice. Now, I have three players, one of which I don't care about in Eric Sogard, one who's terrible in Chris Davis, and tonight's Yankee starter. I'm going to the game tonight. Tonight's Yankee starter, that is Sonny Gray. Gray starts against his former team, the Oakland Athletics, for the very first time. Gray against the Oakland A's tonight. Oh, he's been much better with Austin Romine. What do you think of Sonny Gray going forward, Jake?
I've never been that big of a Sonny Gray fan, honestly. It's just that it's the strikeouts are just never really there. And then any given night, if he's off, it can turn really bad when it's off. He's a matchup option. It's funny, similar to yesterday. He's another Tehran, and that's really what he is. It's he's that kind of range. And honestly, at this point, this season, Tehran looks a little bit better. But Sonny Gray, I think if you find the right matchup, it's always intriguing. I'm always going to be hesitant about using him at home, though.
And so it makes sense, but he has been better with Romine, has been pointed out by kind of everybody.
That's true.
When you play with the Yankees and you're chasing after wins, starting a guy like Sonny Gray makes sense, right? You throw him out there because the Yankees are so good, and they're playing a team tonight in Oakland. It's a really good matchup, and what's really, really cool also tonight, Greg, is Dustin Fowler returns to the Bronx.
Yes. Is he going to start? Have they announced
I have that? To imagine. They haven't announced it yet, but I have to imagine.
Well, hold on. I'll call last name for Sussman. I'll say Sussman. I think Greg. That'll work for you. You say that, But just a few days ago, I went with, so we were doing things, Roto Experts in the morning. We're now doing picks every single day for pitchers and hitters. And I took Garrett Cole for the win. I skated by that. I barely, he actually was out of the game when they went back-to-back home runs to win, to go ahead 2-1 to win that game. So chasing the wins and going with that situation right there. By the way, the echo went away briefly there for a minute, so I don't know if they're tinkering or something. But in any case, if you're looking at it for that factor, that's why I don't chase wins, because we're talking about Garrett Cole,
right,
and he almost didn't beat the Athletics.
Yeah, absolutely. I think completely fair. But I, all I was doing, and you'll take that Garrett Cole matchup against the Athletics with the Astros every single day of the week.
I think you'll take Garrett Cole versus anyone right now.
Exactly. So you'll take those odds. And listen, if you have to chase wins for whatever reason and you don't want to do it, Jake's totally right about that. I'll take a Yankee. I really will. But let's get into, let's get into Dustin Fowler. He gets called up. Today's Friday. On Wednesday, he does not start. And you're like, oh, man, whatever. But then you see that he's facing the Yankees in Yankee Stadium this weekend. And you're like, oh, that's cool.
Against Sonny Gray, too.
Against Sonny Gray, the man he was traded for, him and Jorge Mateo. And it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. Jake, do you think he'll be in the lineup tonight? And whether you do or you don't, what is the outlook for Dustin Fowler? We've talked a little bit about him with Modica, who's a huge fan. We have a lot of people are huge fans of Dustin Fowler. Where are you on that spectrum?
So for Fowler himself, I'm not as high as Modica at all. Look, the fact is, yes, I like the fact he can hit probably 300. But the rest of the season, if you look, like, let's say he gets a regular playing time, then maybe 10-10 I could see for the rest of the season and home runs and stolen bases. I just don't see where the pop is yet, and the speed is not like elite yet. I mean, you're looking at the minor league numbers, and I pulled them up when we were talking about it. In Double A, was 12-25 in 132 games, and then 13-13 in Triple A last year. That's what everybody's looking at, because that was half of a season.
Right.
That was 70 games.
Yep.
So everybody's getting excited about 25-25, which I think is his ceiling. I think that's why people are excited about it. But at the same time, the Yankees are just getting rid of prospects just because they had too many. So if you look at it, he was one of the first ones they were willing to move on from. I think right now for this season, you're looking at 10-10. That's, I like Fowler more for the future. I could be wrong. Like Matt, if Matt's right, that's going to be supremely undervalued because Matt loves him, as you said. But I think as of right now, it's going to be playing time as a question as well.
Let me ask you a question, Jake. I got to pick him off my minors. Would you drop Jackie Bradley for him?
I think I would. Jackie Bradley looks miserable again already this year.
I think it's a great, great question. And I think I agree with Jake. I think the answer is yes. Jackie Bradley looks beyond miserable. And outside of that unbelievable first half that he had 2 years ago, it's been bad.
He's up there for his fielding.
Yeah, but where's his playing time is going to start getting cut? It's 100%, already starting to start getting cut back. If you're going to give me playing time cut back between him and Fowler, I'm going to take Fowler.
You're totally right. The fact is that the way Mitch Moreland's hitting, they have to get him in the lineup. And the way to get him in the lineup is to play J.D. Martinez in the outfield. And by putting J.D. Martinez in the outfield, Moreland plays first base, Hanley DHs, and JBJ's on the bench. That is the only way to do it right now for Boston. So there's no question I would make that move. I'll take the upside, Greg, of Dustin Fowler.
I agree.
It's a good question. It's a really good question.
So we just had an interesting pack.
Okay.
We got two things in this pack that we were talking about. First, this Carlos Gomez card is numbered to 400 on the back.
Okay.
400 and above are short prints. That means they're like chase cards.
Okay.
You only get a few a box, and they're worth more than the base cards.
Okay.
So people are, you know, these are the cards that make value. And then the other thing we got in the pack was...
Yeah. I'm so excited.
The jersey card. Joe Mauer.
Oh, that's cool, right?
Yeah. No, it's fun.
At least it's not like Matt Koch.
No, I mean, Matt Koch, Joe Mauer will probably be the same price or something like this, but that's okay. We're not really... I mean,
so is that our big card that we're getting in this packet?
Well, no, we could still get a Shohei Ohtani base card.
Okay.
Which is still a couple $100.
Okay.
You know, we're not... You know, the odds of getting that red ink autograph, you know, have just gone out the window, I think, unless we get one of those lucky boxes, but it's okay. You know, we're not here to look at the cards.
Jake,
talk about the players.
I know you're not in this room, but you could, I'm sure down in Virginia Beach, you could smell the disappointment coming from Greg Biden.
Well, you know.
I'm smelling the ridiculous heat that's coming.
Oh, wow. What was it? Is it going to be hot down there?
It's in the 80s today. It's supposed to be low 90s tomorrow.
Wow. Summer's arrived.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in Virginia. You get like a week or two of nice 70s, and it's like nope, summer's here. Too late. And I got to go hang out with my nephew at Triple R Ranch for an hour tomorrow.
That doesn't sound so great. Let's move on. I opened a pack of cards here. I want to find somebody in these cards that is interesting to talk about. Ugh, if Nando is here opening cards, he'd make us go off on a Keon Broxton rant again. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I have a question about that. What are the Brewers going to do?
The Brewers are not going to do anything.
They have nine guys that can play the outfield, 75 guys in the infield. And
correct. And no starters.
Who'd they just call up? No.
Who did they just call? I mean, Corey Knebel's back. Corey Knebel pitched the eighth inning last night, Jake.
Oh, you're talking about Woodruff to pitch tonight?
Yeah, Woodruff got called up. Thank you. Another one, Domingo Santana.
Is that a thing, Brandon Woodruff?
No, I was confused. They were talking about bringing up Mauricio Dubois, and then he got out for the year. That's what I got.
But I'm asking this, Jake, is Brandon Woodruff a thing?
He's a pitcher that they like. I wouldn't touch him tonight in Colorado.
You wouldn't spot start him tonight?
No. Hell no. No.
Absolutely.
You think he's going to get called back down, brought back down afterwards?
Yeah, probably. Same thing. Yeah, probably.
Well, he's one of not that they had. They're not exactly deep in pitching prospects, but he's one of their tops. I thought he was actually going to be in the rotation to start the season if they didn't make a move to go get somebody. I'm surprised that
haven't made a move.
Yeah, so you hear the Archers of the world and stuff like that for the trade deadline. But, yeah, there's no way. I mean, there's always the chance that we've seen it before. You know, these guys get called up. There's no book on them, so the hitters just don't know what to do. At the same time, there's enough talent in that Rockies lineup that I'd probably be scared of it in Milwaukee, let alone in Colorado.
No, I hear you. When do you think Corbin Burns is going to get called up then?
I don't know. The Brewers got, like, it's weird. So they got, like, too much talent in the minors, and I don't know what they're doing.
So I just got an interesting card. It's a fun one. It's this shiny Yu Darvish card numbered 569.
Yep.
How do we feel about Yu? I mean,
I think it's a really good question.
He's pitching like Z, so.
Well, Jake, we asked you, obviously, heard yesterday when you hopped off for a few moments, in regards to Yu Darvish and that injury or that sickness or whatever he has, it was all in between the ears, right? He's all in his head, kind of give him a break for a few moments. Is Yu Darvish going to turn it around? Or let me kind of rephrase that because I know you like more specific questions. Who would you rather have for the next 4 months, Yu Darvish or Jose Quintana?
Wow, that's as tight as you could get. I will lean slightly towards Quintana because he looked good the last time out, and he doesn't have the injury concerns of Yu Darvish. I actually think Yu Darvish could post better numbers, but you know the flu and injury concerns of previous seasons. Quintana's always out there for 200 innings.
Yeah, It's hard. Both these guys have not exactly transitioned to Chicago the way you'd hope. For whatever reason, Yu Darvish has not been the same here in 2018.
No, he's lost his control.
Yeah. Why?
I know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe there's the injuries. Don't forget, people forget that because he came over later in his career, he's going to be 32 this year.
Okay.
So it's not unheard of for somebody to like not just have the stuff anymore, 32 years old.
No, of course not. And sticking with the Cubs, I pulled the Madison Russell card, and you heard a lot this week with Manny Machado because the Orioles are one of the worst teams in baseball and that they're going to trade Manny Machado at some point because they kind of have to. And
dude, don't. If the Cubs get him, that's just, come on.
How's it any different if the Yankees sign him in the offseason or Bryce Harper?
I don't think
that's, at least they're signing him. Like, we don't need to be adding to this while it's happening.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting because I don't know the Yankees do that because of how they're kind
sign
of set
him?
Up right now. Yeah, sign Machado. There's no way on earth the
Orioles are trading to him.
No. Well, Peter Angelos would never do that.
I mean, the Yankees could call up and start with Gleyber Torres, and the Orioles would still say no.
Right, but the Cubs are going to start with so the Cubs, yeah, 100%.
Yes.
Really? Absolutely, yes.
Even though they're going to lose him, they wouldn't take Gleyber?
Until the day, and I swear to you this, until the day Peter Angelos dies, they'll never make a trade with the Yankees.
No. He'll take a lesser package to send him to the National League or out of the division before he sends him to the Yankees.
100% right.
Okay.
100% right. But I'm looking at Addison Russell and the back of his baseball card right now. And I had this conversation before the season started. And that was that is Addison Russell ever going to be what we almost assume that he is, Jake? Like, I feel like when you hear the name Addison Russell, you think he's better than he is, and you kind of look at the stats, and you look at the back of a baseball card, and it's not good. Is Addison Russell ever going to be, for lack of a better term, good?
No. He is what he is. And what he is around 20 home runs if he plays 150 games. He doesn't hit for a great average. He doesn't have that much speed. It's the one minor league season where he stole 20 bases. And that's the thing. Is that everybody goes back to that year when he was a highly rated prospect. Everybody saw that, and everybody projects forward. And at that time, there was hope for it, but ever since then, he's supremely cooled off, especially in the stolen base department. Doesn't hit enough to get on base to really make up for this. Like, he doesn't have elite speed. It's not like top end speed, where at least, like, so earlier this morning, we had a beat reporter from the Mets come on, and I asked, I said, why isn't Rosario stealing more bases? Sure. And at least Rosario has the speed. It's just they're batting him ninth, and you have the whole situation with Russell. He has even less speed than that. So the fact that he doesn't hit for a high average to get on base, to make the steal attempts, and then you're hoping for 20 home runs, and that's really all he can kind of bring you. For fantasy purposes, he's a middle infielder, as is he's a backup shortstop or middle infielder. But for what he's ever wanted to be, or we wanted him to be from that one season, that was basically probably the best we ever saw.
I think it's a very, very reasonable and rational answer when it comes to Addison Russell. But I do want to throw this out at you, Greg. Dude's like 23 years old, right? Like, it's not like he's 26 or 27. He's 23 still. Like, I think there still is room to grow.
There definitely is room to grow. I think that sometimes playing in a lineup like that does, you know, with some of these young guys, it can be intimidating. If they start not doing well, they get in their own heads.
Sure.
So yeah. Who knows?
Who knows indeed.
Here's a player I wanted to talk about.
Bring it up.
Jed Lowry. Leading the American League in RBIs still, I believe. Right?
Maybe.
I know, but I mean, the guy's never had more than 75 in a season, and he's playing all world this
sure.
year.
Sure. Jake's a huge Jed Lowry fan, so.
I mean, do you think he's going to keep it up all year, or is this like one of those sell high candidates?
Jake, oh, look, Jake. He's putting this right. No, this is your wheelhouse assessment.
We can't actually hear Jake because our solo's on downstairs. There we go. It's off now. What's up, Jake?
Oh, okay. I was going to say, this is your wheelhouse. This is your wheelhouse. Well, you should go first.
No, I was letting you do it, man. You're the big Jed Lowry guy.
No, I am definitely not. Look, I almost wrote about him this week.
Really?
I almost did. Well, no, because I was going to talk about the fact that, yeah, I said this is, I'm going to pull it up again because he's still hitting over 300 for May, but two home runs, three runs, five ribbies. Not a lot of production across the board. You're getting kind of a, not complete empty average, but somewhat of an empty average.
Yeah. I get it. We're taking a break here. We'll come back. Got a lot more cards to open. Just a lot of just spontaneous baseball talk with Jake, with the two Gregs. It's fun. It's Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Stick around. More after this.
If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Come Greg Sussman say hey.
Yes, the reminder for you. May is Dollar Deal Month over at DailyRoto.com. Use the code $1, O-N-E-D-O-L-L-A-R, and you can get all of the premium products associated with DailyRoto.com for just $1. There's a lot less things you could do with your $1, so you might as well use that $1 and expand it to make $1 million or more. $1, Dollar Month, DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code $1, O-N-E. D-D-O-L-L-A-R. All right.
Real quick before, because we kind of like ran up against this, I just wanted to say to your credit is the fact that says Jed Lowry, it's not his fault right now. He's still hitting a ton. It's just that lineup's not doing him any favors.
Well, so, he's got Fowler now.
He's right. That's right. Nice call, Greg Biden. We're with Greg Biden here today. Follow him. Which one do you want me to say?
At Red Felt Breaks.
At Red Felt Breaks. We'll follow him at Red Felt Breaks. Also follow the Black Jaded Wolf. Please. And you got the All-In Kid, obviously, and me, Greg Sussman. All right, Biden, what else we got? What are we pulling here?
You know, we were opening stuff during the break, and we pulled a nice variation. Here is a Cody Bellinger card. It's one of the many variations. If you could see, he's in an action position, and if we'll use this card, it's like a portrait. So anytime that there's a action position, it's a rare SP. This is about a $15 card.
Okay.
You know, which is nice, especially being Bellinger and a Dodger makes him more valuable. And we're going to put him in this case over here.
So he made the case.
He made the case. The Joe Mauer card didn't, but he did. But, you know, such is life. And here's a guy who actually wanted to talk about, Derek Fisher.
So
you want to go back to Bellinger?
Yeah, let's go back to Cody Bellinger. Bellinger has struggled here thus far. Jake, got a couple of strikeouts last night. I know DailyRoto.com has him as one of the value plays of the day tonight because he's facing Matt Harvey in Cincinnati. So Cody Bellinger, a popular play in Daily tonight. What do you think of Cody Bellinger? What's going on with him here, Jake?
I think he's just in a cold funk. I don't know what's going on because everything's in line. The only thing is the pop isn't there. I mean, he severely isn't there compared to last year. I think his power is, the ISO is close to half of what it was last season when I pulled him up because I actually own him on two teams. I kicked Cody Bellinger this year and nothing because, you know, that's what happens when you get put on my team. So, unfortunately, I think you have to ride it out. I would actually try to buy low. He has too much natural power to be this poor all year because the good news is, like I said, everything else, the average is there. Strikeout percentage hasn't jumped. He's not walking quite as much, but I don't think that's going to relate too much to the power. He's just got to get into a groove. He could go off and hit, you know, 5 in a week, and we'd all be just like, okay, cool, he's back.
Yeah, I that's how it works with power hitters, though. I think we're kind of waiting for the same thing with Giancarlo Stanton, where they just kind of go on this run. And you're like, oh, that was the dude I drafted. I'm not worried about
Stanton at least looked like he's throwing blips out there for us, though.
It's true. Like, you get the game where he hits, like, 2 home runs every couple of weeks.
Yeah, like, oh, he's woken up. Oh, no,
I mean, the Dodgers have been disappointing as a whole this
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely.
Injuries everywhere. I mean, I think Turner's going to be back hopefully next week.
That's the goal. Justin Turner comes back next week, yeah.
Yeah, that would be huge.
Like, as much as Stanton is struggling, and listen, he's batting .238, and I get it. He does have 27 runs scored. He does have 23 RBI. He has 9 home runs. So, like, he's not, like, destroying you like Cody OBP? Bellinger is. .325.
You know, in OBP league, it's...
It's not horrific. It's not horrific. So... As bad as Stanton has been.
Check out something on Bellinger that I think that I have an assumption that might be going on that I'll tell you here in a second.
All right, cool. What else do you have, Greg?
On Bellinger, or do we move on to the next one?
You can move on to the next one.
Well, here's a guy, you know.
Actually, it is. My assumption is correct. All right, sorry. But assessment. Okay. So it's funny because I was watching an MLB show this morning, and they were talking about the strike zone. Well, because where it got to this is they were talking about the shifts, and I tweeted it out, and they were talking about the fact that there was 4,500 shifts. In the entire 2012 season, there's already 35,000 this year. And they're just talking about that, which led into how does baseball address this? Do we need to limit that? And then they talked about adjusting the strike zone with Jason Stark. And they were talking about raising it an inch or two. And they're talking about because of that, because the strike zone where it is if you hit in that range, it leads to a lot of ground balls. Well, I looked at Cody Bellinger and his ground ball percentage is up quite a bit from last year. So my next part of where I jumped to was like, maybe he's doing exactly what they're talking about. And if you look at his contact percentage from last year, it's a lot right dead in the middle of the strike zone, more inside than out. This year, he's jumped across the board at the bottom of the strike zone, hitting the ground ball. So he needs to learn some more patience, it looks like, at the plate.
How's that?
I hope he rebounds. I have him in a few teams, so
hopefully he figures that out because it looks like it is his fault right now.
That's an issue when it's his fault. It's not like the team's fault, as we saw with Jalen Lowry just a couple moments ago. So yeah. You got to hope that Cody Bellinger does figure it out. I know another player you wanted to mention. I'll let you bring him up, and that's Derek Fisher out there in Houston, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, he's not doing anything. When do we think we're going to see Kyle Tucker? Or is he just not ready yet,
Jake?
Never. I mean, not this year. where are they going to put him?
Well, I'm saying if they send Fisher back down or relegate
still, him. Where are they going to put him? I mean, Fisher still isn't out there all the time.
No, I know, but it's not like Josh Reddick is, you know, batting his weight. What is he batting, .238 also or .240?
Yeah, but that's Josh Reddick. Josh Reddick's always going to hit, though. I just don't know where you're going
to
put him.
Just silence from the beast.
I mean, not much to say about that. I asked the question because I didn't know and I was curious.
You also had, coming in here, forget the cards for a second, but you came in here, you got, I have a bunch of questions I got to ask Jake. So I know you got to leave
soon.
Tommy
Pham played last night, started. So what's going to go on with Harrison Bader? Is it just going to be, are they going to wait for Fowler to go down? Because they're not trading him with that contract and Ozuna is a stud. What's going to happen there?
What's that? Like, here's another one. Like, where, again, it's just the, where are you going
to
put him?
No, that's why I'm curious. Like, are you going to go back down to the minors then? Or is he up for good? Harrison Bader.
It just depends on what they want to do. If they want to get him every day at bats, he's going to get sent back down. If they're fine with him playing in a when do you get the play type of situation, which I never think is smart, they're going to keep him up there. But either way, he doesn't have fantasy value. That's the problem, is either you get a part-time role or you get sent back down.
Yeah, that's the deal, obviously. Harrison Bader. I was looking this up while you guys were talking about it, and that's my man with that Odor. So Odor, for Texas, is going to be activated tonight. He returns from his injury. He had a couple of rehab games, and he comes back for the first time in a month tonight. He'll be in the starting lineup, we expect, against Justin Verlander and Houston. Odor wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire in the first week or two when he was still active here, Jake. Zero home runs, just four RBIs, three runs scored, batting 200. I don't know if you were an Odor guy coming into this year, but he was bad. Really bad to start it off. Can he turn it around?
I don't know. And to be honest with you, I was on him in a lot of leagues because I'm looking at the power that he has, and there's no question the power's even there. You go back to last season, 204 average, 30 home runs, 79, 75, and 15. 30 and 15 with nearly 80 runs and 80 RBIs. Sometimes you can say, you know what? I will have one player on my team who's killing my average, because even the one person is probably not killing your team average that much. It definitely doesn't help. But if you have two or three of these type of guys, like if you have a Reddick talked about before, if you have one of those already on your team, or you mix in another one like Gallo, now you're in trouble. But you can deal with one Odor, and that's why I owned him in a lot of leagues, especially because if you get his average up to 230, 240, and what will come with that. But the sad part about it is, He was striking out much less, much fewer times than he was last year, but the average was still just 200, and the power wasn't there. So maybe this is an injury that he had before he actually suffered the full injury and went on the DL, and maybe we can hope for a little bit better. But at this point, I'm losing hope here.
And also, of course, the problem is lefties don't seem to be going away. Yeah. A couple of other guys I have here before we get to a guy you wanted to talk about, Greg. And that was Ryan Healy. Ryan Healy finally gets hot for Seattle. I know a lot of people coming into this year are Ryan Healy guys that got turned off by that hand injury before the season started. Thus far on the year, batting 260 with a BABIP of 260. He's got six home runs. He's got 16 RBI. As I said, he's been hot as of late, Jake. This is the Ryan Healy that people were hoping that they drafted in the offseason. He's got like a couple of home runs over the last week. He's got a bunch of runs scored. He's got a presence in that Seattle lineup. Are you buying, holding, or selling Ryan Healy right now?
Holding, not buying, because the owner probably realizes what he's been doing over the past 2 weeks. Okay. So you're probably going to have to pay a premium unless the owner isn't paying attention. Maybe go look at the guy who owns Healy. Maybe he's still on his bench because he had made adjustments and he hasn't been paying attention to it, because if he's on his bench, probably not paying attention to that much of what he's doing. So if you have somebody like that just really hasn't been paying attention because they made other changes in their lineup, I would buy, because Ryan Healy is a 25, maybe 30 at best home run hitter. Not going to steal anything for you, but the average will be okay, and the production will be there with the runs and RBI. So yeah, he's not going to hit 330 for the entire year, but he's somebody that I will either hold, or I'm not selling him, because I don't think you can sell him at that much of a premium right now.
Next up for me, White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson, who is the gem for everybody over the first 2 weeks of the season. Since then, it hasn't exactly been so fun. In the month of May, he's batting just 207, but he does have three home runs after hitting four in March and April. He has stolen two bases thus far, of course, still like 20 days left or so in the month. Tim Anderson was a name that, again, kind of a lightning rod, gentlemen. Some people really liked him. Some people were completely done with him. Assuming that he's not going to ever do what he did the first 2 weeks of the season, which is fine, Jake. What can we expect over the next few months from Tim Anderson?
Exactly this. Basically what he's... Yeah, which is okay. But look, Tim Anderson has value. He's always had value. It's just the people that got hung up in the beginning of the season. That's when you sell high. You sell high on all these people, like even Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is starting to cool off, and he's going to have a hot streak and come back and stuff like that. But you look at all these guys, the hot streaks is when you try to sell. You don't aren't always able to if nobody gave you anything that you want to move Anderson for. But if you look at his numbers right now, and take what he is right now after the hot streak, after he cooled off, and now that he's kind of back into his norm, and took that and projected it across the final 4.5 months of what we have, that's Tim Anderson, and you're happy with that.
All right, we got another special card update from Greg Biden.
Yeah, Dansby Swanson. You look here, we pulled the regular Cody Bellinger, and if you hold the card in front of it, it's smaller.
Oh.
The sucky Cody Bellinger.
Yeah. Exactly.
This year's Cody Bellinger.
That's cool. So it's a smaller card.
Yeah. I mean, I think Swanson might be one of those sell high guys too when he comes back.
Well, he's hurt. I don't think he can sell him high anymore. I think it's over.
Right before he comes back, though. With Greg's point. Maybe I always try to do that. I always look to sell as soon as right before somebody comes back, because that's usually their peak value, because everybody's excited and think they're going to be exactly their best. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So whether they get hurt again or whether they actually are that play, usually right before somebody comes back, like right now, if you got the situation where you just mentioned Odor, you could probably try to sell him high right now for somebody who thinks, like what I was saying before, maybe he was hurt the entire time. Maybe Odor is going to get better. Like a lot of times people will overvalue as soon as they come back. So I would do that as well. But I actually like Swanson. I was on Swanson at the beginning of the season. I was on Swanson and Newcomb. And I kept saying, everybody's ignoring these two kids. Everybody's ignoring that they're high draft picks, high talents, highly thought of, and then everybody noticed Albies, and then, of course, the Acuna, when he's going to come up, and his spring, and forgot about Swanson, and also because Swanson and Newcomb disappointed last year. But if you look at him, he's somebody who can still give you like 10-10, a decent average. He's a productive across the board, never going to be top 25, 30 hitter, but he's somebody that can give production across the board at a valuable position. I mean, not only is this position lacking weapons everywhere across Major League Baseball, there's been a lot of injuries.
No doubt. There's been a ton of injuries. And you talked about guys coming back, and you actually mentioned this a few moments ago, Greg, and I think it really fits your formula, Jake. Justin Turner. Justin Turner, a guy that rehab assignment this weekend, could be back as soon as the Wednesday of next week.
Let's hope.
With that wrist injury that saps power, like, he's a guy I want to trade this weekend. Like, this weekend, 1,000% I want to trade him.
I mean, 100%.
I drafted him in some leagues before he got hurt.
You should probably try to trade him this weekend.
I don't know if anyone's going to give anything, though. That's
why? Well, you have the potential. Jake's right. You have the potential. Like, wow, Justin Turner's
see what's
back
out there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, see what's out. Like, I tried to trade Daniel Murphy last week because there was a rumor that he might return last week at the end of last week.
Right.
He got pushed back. If I could have just gotten 90% value of Daniel Murphy, I would have moved on because, look, he has a setback, and now who knows when he's coming.
Speaking of setbacks, Adam Eaton isn't helping anyone.
I said this all along about Adam Eaton.
We both did.
We did. We really did. It just frustrates me.
I got another guy, injured guy, David Price.
He's out for like 6 weeks, right?
Adam Eaton's out for another. I heard like 6 to 8, so yeah.
Could be long. He may not play this year. Who knows?
Yeah, so I saw this.
He was supposed to come back
like
in April.
Year?
I saw some Roto World report where it was just like, he is expected to come back in 2018. I'm like, this is what we're up to now? Like, he is expected to come back in 2018? Adam Eaton.
I think Daniel Murphy shows up before him at this point.
Which is wild to say. Absolutely wild. I tried offering, by the way, speaking of injured players, I offered in a fair deal. I said it on the BFFs yesterday. I offered someone in my league, Justin Turner, for Robbie Ray. And I was turned down.
That's a fair trade, though.
I didn't think it was unfair. I wasn't trying to.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Turner's about to come back. Robbie Ray's another 2 weeks out.
Exactly. I thought I could afford it, and then I could have a top flight
starting. Yeah, exactly. Pitcher. Hopefully.
I didn't think it was an unfair offer. He declined.
Can you think of the last player that went on the DL that was actually back the day they were supposed to come back?
I mean, it does happen.
No,
to
I know.
Be fair.
I'm just saying. They put these guys on the 10-day DL just to rest, but
right.
I'm talking about like the 30-day DL.
Well, there's
the obliques and stuff like that.
Yeah, so obliques are really tricky because it's not like there's a guaranteed timeline, right? And unfortunately, it's when that person's like side heals enough for them to do the motion that they need to do. All right, Greg, we got 2 minutes. I know you got to head out of here. You wanted to ask about David Price.
Yeah, he said he's going to pitch the rest of the season. I think it was yesterday, but you don't think this carpal tunnel thing is going to haunt him all year?
No, I think he's a joke. I think he's a joke. I think he's a liar.
I was going to say, I hope it's only carpal. I've had carpal tunnel. You can wear a brace to bed, and I've had, and I have to, I'm not comparing what I do to baseball at all. Let's make that clear. But my hands are typing all day long in this position, and I've had carpal tunnel, and I wore a brace, still doing my work every single day, and in like 3 days, it was gone. Now, again, what he's doing is significantly more But carpal tunnel, if that's truly that's all that's wrong, I hope that's the case, and then I will be fine with him. But inside injuries didn't sound so promising.
Yeah, well, it seems like gripping the ball is a lot doesn't help that, and only can exacerbate it longer.
That's why he needs time.
Yeah,
I just think he's like making up excuses.
Speaking of the Red Sox, Pedroia could be coming back soon.
Is that really? I haven't heard anything about Dustin Pedroia. Yeah, I'm not exactly
aware
of that.
I forgot about Dustin Pedroia.
What's going to happen when he comes back? I mean, Nunez isn't doing.
He's going to retire.
What's that?
I said he's going to retire. Welcome back. I retired.
But he's still getting good batting average and getting on base and doing everything.
Yeah, it's not.
He's below, you know, and his presence in the locker room is definitely, the clubhouse is definitely something that the team, you know, likes.
That's not untrue. Greg Biden, it's been awesome, man.
Good seeing you. Have a good weekend, Jake.
Thank you for coming in. As always, we appreciate it.
See you next week.
I'll see you next week. We'll take a break here. When we come back, Fantasy Sports Today. Jake Seeley and I don't know, we'll discuss something like fun. That's about all I got. Stick around, more on the way after this.
What if I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
DKMS, place to go to learn what you can do to help those that have blood cancer. Donate your bone marrow, dailyroto.com/DKMS, rotoexperts.com/DKMS. All will work. All will help you out in any single way. I just realized I'm still sitting here, Frank, rather than in the middle of the table. I'm sorry. Hey, Bavona, is Florio here yet? If he wants to come up and hang, he's more than welcome to. I want to just throw that out there. If he wants to come hang out with us and talk some baseball, he's more than welcome.
So it's not just a deal. I have a question for you,
Jake,
though, if you want.
Jake, I'm very happy hanging out with you. I just wanted to invite Florio up because I know he's not doing anything.
Yeah. No, I actually do have a legitimate question for you. It's NBA related, though. Is that cool?
Yeah, of course.
Because I don't follow
enough. We'll feel bad because Greg Biden really wanted to talk about Dwayne Casey, and I was like, nah, sorry, we're just talking about baseball. And
no,
the second
no,
he walks
that's
out, you're going to ask me about Dwayne Casey.
I just want to know how the hell they fire somebody after having, is it that bad? Is it the number one seed and you couldn't do anything against the Cavaliers? You're gone? Like, that was surprising. For somebody who basically watches the playoffs, and you know my feelings on the NBA at this point, but still, I pay enough attention to what's going on. This was, to me, like, what the hell?
Yeah, you know, Dwayne Casey, I feel bad for Greg. Greg, if you're listening, I'm sorry, dude. But it comes down to one thing. You couldn't beat LeBron. And it looked like your team gave up. Florio just walked in. It looked like they gave up. Listen, if this is a 7-game series and they lose, that's one thing. But if you get swept and you lose by 30 in game 4, it looks like your team gave up on you. And once your team gives up on you, it's over. And I think that's
what happens. So I can see that. Like, once you don't have that, like, once your voice is lost, like, how do you get it back?
You don't. And that's why he's gone. And I think it really comes down to that. And I almost, like, I kind of relate it to Joe Girardi, right? Like, Joe Girardi brought his team to the ALCS. 7 games in a year that they were supposed to be rebuilding. And he was not brought back because they felt that Joe Girardi's voice was not the right voice for the younger players. Like, he had taken this team since 2009 with a whole lot of veterans and the core four and all that whole deal. And now with the new blood of Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, so on and so forth, they thought they needed a different name. Now, it's different because Toronto's not exactly rebuilding, obviously.
Right.
But they feel that Dwayne Casey had brought them as far as they could go. That was it. And unfortunately, that hill was and is LeBron. And no matter what they did, no matter how good Toronto was, it's the first year ever that a coach from Toronto hosted the All-Star game. Toronto finished with the best record in the NBA. This year was supposed to be different, and it wasn't.
But is it ever going to be different until you get rid of LeBron?
We'll find out in this series, right? Like, people think Boston seem to think Boston's good enough without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward. We'll see. Again, I think it's different. If it goes Game 7, it's a back-and-forth series, and it is what it is. But to get blown out the way they did in Game 4 and seemingly give up. DeMar DeRozan on the bench. It's not a good look. Like, Toronto had many chances to win many games in the series, and they couldn't come through. Ultimately, that falls on the coach. So that's why Dwayne Casey's no longer employed.
See, I felt like the Sixers gave away their series more than the Raptors did.
They did, too. No doubt. No doubt. But, like, Brett Brown has a little bit more free will. He also has a little bit of a grace period.
Leniency.
Indeed. Yeah. He has a grace period because he's coached this team who had no talent whatsoever. And they got farther than they should have ever gone this year. Now,
no, Florio saw my tweet, and I think that you would agree, Greg, if you didn't see it. I said, can't the Sixers be a success and a failure at the same time? Like, can't we just say, hey, we didn't expect you to do as much as you did. Great season. Kudos to where you went this far in the playoffs. At the same time, you potentially had this series in your hand. You lost by 6-5, 3-2, and you had the lead in three of those games under 2 minutes and literally gave the game away. Like, can't they be a success and a failure?
My answer to that is yes. I think they can. Because this season overall, and people gave Joel Embiid a lot of crap for this, the season overall is a monster success. Like, the process is over. It's over. They did it. They got there. And if they get improvement from Markel Fultz, an improvement from Ben Simmons, an improvement from Joel Embiid, they'll be right back here next year. But when you get here, you want more. And I think, again, I'm sorry for relating it to the Yankees, but that you can say the same thing about last year, right? Like, last year was a success and a failure. Because this team that no one expected anything from went to Game 7 of the semifinals, basically. And when you are up 3-2 in that series, you expect to win it all. Certainly get to the World Series. And it's a failure when they don't. It's a success and a failure. Good tweet, Jake. Mike Florio, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, man.
I feel bad for Casey.
Okay.
Because
Coach of the Year.
Like, yeah, I mean, if they could fire Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, maybe things would be a little different. If there's one team in the league that I can't get by, or one player,
I'd want it to be the best. I'll ask you, Florio, and Greg, too. So there's one of the questions, too. Do you think part of it was the DeRozan factor? Because I was watching that game with my buddy, and for how long he was on the bench in the fourth quarter, till the end of the game. And I said this to him. I said, if they don't win this game, this is going to be a situation that blows up the entire chemistry. You're going to have people talking about it. You're going to have issues about it if they don't win. And they didn't, and they lost. And now all people were talking, like, DeRozan was down the bench. I don't care how inefficient he was. I don't care the fact that his minus was 20-something or whatever it was for that game, and nobody else was even close. The fact is, he's one of your best players, second best player on the team, one of the best scorers in the league. You left them on the bench. And you lost.
Yeah, I certainly think once you bench the best player, it's got to be someone's got to go. Yeah, the coach or the best player. In most cases, it's going to be the coach.
Well, so. Again, I will make another Yankee reference for you. Because I'm full of them.
I'm just tired of the Yankees.
I don't care.
I am 100% with you, Jake.
Back in 2000 in something, 2006 maybe, Joe Torre is the manager of the New York Yankees. And they're in the playoffs. And they struggled and lost in the first round. And they went and batted Alex Rodriguez eighth.
You're still in the game.
Probably the right call.
I'm not saying, but like you can't do that. And once he did that and batted Alex Rodriguez eighth, that was it. Joe Torre was fired.
If it works out, though, Joe Torre's a genius.
It wasn't going to work out. Now, who was it Torre or Girardi? I had to look this up now. That pinch hit Raul Ibanez for A-Rod.
It was Joe Girardi. I'm almost positive.
He looked like the genius.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work out, does he get fired?
Yes, probably. Yes. He pinch hit Raul Ibanez for A-Rod. Speaking of it, it worked!
Speaking of Joe Girardi, is he the last... Before Casey, was he the last to win coach/manager of the year and get fired in the same season?
Girardi was manager of the year last year?
No, with the Marlins.
Oh, right. Probably, yeah. I think so. Makes sense.
He could have been coach of the year last year, and it happened twice.
Florio just tweeted. You can talk about me tweeting during the show.
Jake, I am so proud that you called that out.
I tweeted.
Well done, Jake. Well damn done.
I tweeted promoting BFFs, but I did it
during the show you're on
while you two were talking. When I was just sitting here.
You can't. You cannot criticize Jake for tweeting when other people are talking, and then you do.
But I hadn't especially been brought tweets, on the show yet.
My tweets during the show are either during the commercial break or they're scheduled tweets. I don't tweet while Greg's talking.
Jake, I didn't know if you guys were going to actually bring me on or not. I was just sitting
here. I wouldn't call you up here and then not bring you on.
I was listening. I contributed
fully.
Whoa,
wait, time out, time out. No. Nice try, Flora. You were already on at this point. You had just finished talking about the DeRozan, and then you tweeted.
Oh, yeah. I had the tweet typed out, and I had to click send.
I am so happy, Jake, that you called that out.
Jake won this time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, it was great. Is there anyone you want to ask Jake about, Floria? Because, you know, you guys don't get to talk much these days.
I do still my usual trolling on Twitter sometimes. That was the tweet he was referring
and then,
to.
And then asked me to help him with his team.
Yeah. I am in a very deep dynasty. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I'm taking over a team in the middle of a rookie draft. So, like, I'm still feeling things out. So, yeah, I run by Jake because, I figure he's going to
help. He's the all-in beast.
He's going to help me out. Why wouldn't I ask, you know, a guy like Jake who every year
I'm
ranks 500%
accurate. I never lost. I never wrong.
Are you cutting a promo?
Yeah, I was doing a Baller Brand.
Ah. Is there a pay-per-view this weekend? Because I feel like there's one every weekend.
No. Next WWE pay-per-view
is
Money in the
Bank. This is the longest stretch between pay-per-views all year.
There you go.
Really?
Enjoy it. Enjoy it while you have it.
What's up with Money in the Bank? That one will be okay.
Money in the Bank will be good.
Greg knows this. No Brock. He's not showing up at this. He might not show up till SummerSlam. That's great.
Yeah, whatever.
He'll probably fight in UFC before then.
I know. So I was reading about this. You brought this up. He has to go into that protocol or whatever.
The suspension.
Yeah, and he hasn't done that yet. So it certainly seems like the whole UFC thing was leverage.
Because we brought it up for wrestling.
I want to sign off on YouTube because they don't want to hear this. So we'll sign off on Twitter and Twitch and Periscope and all that good stuff. We'll still be live on television, obviously. And we are, of course, finishing off on the radio. So we appreciate it. We'll see you next week. BFF's up next. Here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and YouTube channel. Jake, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, look, we all know the fix to Roman is turning him heel. We know that. But here's how you do it. And I think this is the perfect scenario. You lose to whoever it is, Brock, Joe, whoever you want him to lose to at this point. He rips the stupid vest off so we can finally see him without the bulletproof stupid guard that, like, whatever you want to call that stupid thing. And you get to see, like, the more natural what somebody should look like.
Someone just called it a shield.
Whatever. And then just go ballistic, chairing and hammering the heck out of whoever it is. So, but rip that stupid vest off.
Jake's all about ripping the vest off. That's how you turn somebody heel. Rip their vest off.
Should he also not have the shield open anymore?
He's somebody down.
He shouldn't have had the shield opening from the beginning.
No, that was...
That was the first straw that really ticked off the fans, right? Like, the shield was cool. Like, Seth went in his own way, got really cool entrance music. Dean Ambrose got some bad entrance music. And then, like, Roman was due for some bad entrance music himself. And instead, he got the shield open.
I like Seth Rollins open.
It's awesome.
You've seen the Roman Reigns YouTube a video with the lyrics, right, Greg?
No.
Oh my, you have it. The Roman Reigns, the guy with the wettest hair. Roman, you haven't seen this?
I feel like I have. It does sound familiar.
It's awesome.
It does sound quite familiar. So maybe.
Okay. But yeah, he really must shower before he heads out there, though.
No, he literally just sprays water. You've seen, there's been clips in the back. He has a water bottle full of water. He sprays himself.
Why?
Because people think that his hair looks better wet.
Think about it. You don't want somebody with, like, flowing, dry Fabio hair in the wrestling ring.
It's true.
All right.
It's completely true. So all the wrestlers, like, wet their hair and, like, put BB oil on their body so it shines. Whole deal. Why don't you do that before our show, Floria?
Why would I ever do that?
So you look better.
Why don't you do it?
Get some BB oil. I'll do it.
All right. So Monday.
Are you hiding some pecs, Floria?
No.
If you go, you want to leave right now, go to CBS before our show. We have 6 minutes. You want to go, get baby oil, I'll rub it all over myself for the show.
But only on your arms, or are you going to do the whole show shirtless with baby oil all over yourself?
We're in a restaurant.
I don't care.
I do. We're in a restaurant. I can't do that.
You got to do something like not quite as bad as baby oil. Only for you, because it, like, I'm thinking of, like, it never coming off everything you touch.
I'll do the baby oil. I'm fine.
I want
but I can't take my shirt off in the restaurant.
Or in like a tank top.
I'll go like this. Same thing.
I'll baby oil it for Monday, but no, I'm too white.
I'll do that. I mean, Jake, he's going. All right. Florio's going to CVS get baby oil for the BFFs. There you go. All right.
If I wasn't going out, I would so just pour this water over my head right now.
Well, I don't want you to get stuff all over your desk.
I would lean back and make sure I just got it all over the chair. But I'm going out.
Okay.
I'm going out for my niece's birthday.
That's cool. Now, would you? This is harder because you have your computer obviously and your camera's obviously attached to the computer. Right. Would you do the Triple H water spray into the camera? If I
wasn't so close to everything that's around me, I absolutely would.
Yeah.
And 100%. If I could figure out a way to make it happen next week, Greg, I will. If I could figure out a way to not get it all over everything.
Because, that's got to be the go. Like, for me, for years, that was the go-to move in the pool, right? It's like walk, like.
Oh, the spray?
Just walk around, look around, just like. Spray everywhere. No doubt.
The bad thing is that if you're smart enough, you know when it's coming because you walk around like.
My favorite thing was like for a while he holds that water in his mouth for a long time.
He does.
And it doesn't look like he's like, and then he like spits it all out, but doesn't do all of it. It's very impressive. It's really impressive.
That is, and also to not accidentally swallow any of it, because if you ever held a liquid in your mouth for a long time, this is getting so awkward. This is if you play this back out of context, we're so don't save this, Bavona.
Yeah, I would. It's like, so there's a water bottle over there. So when the car goes back to you, I'll take it. Like, I remember I really would just like walk around.
Here, go back to me.
You go, Frank, go there. There you go. Right.
There you go. So Craig can walk away. There you go. He's going to get his water. Oh, I didn't know you were actually getting up to leave. That's what you're doing. Oh.
So
they actually made Brassberries after the commercial. They just came out with them.
What did I miss?
You haven't seen the Justin Timberlake commercial for the Buy Drink?
No.
And he's putting the blueberries inside the raspberries, and he's like, they're brassberries. But anyway, go ahead. They actually made some.
So literally, when I get a water bottle, like I do in my hand right now, I would take it, drink it, and then like literally, sorry, Frank. Frank's gonna kill me. But I take the water and I like walk around like I'm Triple H with the whole like looking around for the crowd. And then just looking straight at the hard camera and just going wild with it. It's awesome. Like, what kid doesn't do that? Right? Like, everybody's got to do that, you'd think, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Do you do that? Or am I out of my mind?
Not really, but I think like a lot of people.
I don't know. I do.
You didn't have to ask. I was trying to help you out.
It's fine. What wrestling entrances do you do?
Do I do? I don't really do entrances.
None? There's none that you imitate.
I will. No, I really don't. I don't.
Okay.
I'm sorry that I never do. But I will tell you this. If anybody watches Arrow last night, he freaking RKO'd some dude in the house.
Well, that's the dude. Is that the dude that's a big wrestling fan? That guy?
Yeah. He's the one that wrestled Cody Rhodes.
Right. He's going to be
Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell, right. He's going to be at Cody Rhodes' independent show.
Yeah, he RKO'd a dude in one of the fight scenes.
That's cool. That was probably an homage.
Terrific.
Yeah, that was cool. I do Brock Lesnar's entrance for sure. I do that a lot. Or I used to do that when I was warming up for basketball.
So you do like the dance on one foot type of thing on both.
Yeah,
ways?
It was the, you know, that one where you just go back and forth and then just end it going like that.
Yep.
Yeah. I would do that to warm up before basketball. That was many years
really?
Ago. Really? Yeah. It was like my warm up. It was like pump me up.
Many years ago.
Many years. When I was in high school, I didn't play high school ball. But I played a rec league when I was in high school, and that's how I'd warm up, yeah. Learning something new every day. Jake, this has been a very, very wild hour. And if Nando was here, he would not let this happen. So thankfully he wasn't. Jake, have an awesome weekend, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
You too.
BFFs are up next. See ya.